Welcome to another deep dive. If you were at the St. Petersburg International Economic Forum on June 1st, you were probably expecting this grand, perfectly curated vision of Russian global supremacy.
Right. It's supposed to be this pristine, highly controlled networking environment.
Exactly. But instead, attendees got front row seats to a massive plume of black smoke. I mean, just billowing into the sky from a naval base hundreds of miles away from the actual front lines.
Which is such a wild visual, and it really perfectly highlights our mission for today. We are exploring how global powers are drastically rewriting the rules of engagement to basically break the strategic stalemate.
Yeah, the old rules of war are just completely dead. Today, we're pulling from the latest tactical updates from the Institute for the Study of War, or ISW, and we've got some really incredible naval analysis from the war zone.
And by the end of this deep dive, you'll see how all these seemingly disconnected events tie together.
Right, like gasoline lines in occupied Ukraine, a bureaucratic shell game in the Middle East, and this bizarrely smooth new submarine in China. They're all connected by the shifting geometry of modern warfare. Okay, let's unpack this.
So, to understand how combatants are changing the rules, we first have to look at the physical battlefield in Ukraine. Because traditional frontline assaults are just bogging down.
Mm-hmm.
It's forcing a massive shift in tactics. Looking strictly at the tactical reports from the ISW, Russian forces are really struggling on the ground.
Yeah, specifically the Russian 20th and 25th Combined Armies, right?
Exactly. They are bogged down trying to encircle Lyman, which is essentially repeating the exact same mistakes they made in their failed summer 2022 campaign.
And when a front stalls that badly, frustration mounts. We're just neutrally reporting what the ISW noted here. But the data points to some extreme measures being taken on the ground.
Yeah, the tactical discipline really degrades.
Right. There are reports of Russian forces using first-person view drones to strike a clearly marked humanitarian vehicle in Druzhkivka. And even using white phosphorus munitions in Kostantinivka.
Which is intense. And because the front is just so stalled, Ukraine also can't easily punch through. So they've engineered this completely new synergy.
Ooh, the dual strike strategy.
Right. They are combining long-range and mid-range strikes to dismantle the Russian logistical spine.
It's an incredible squeeze. I like to think of it like an analogy. It's like Ukraine is cutting off the water at the reservoir and putting kinks in the garden hose at the exact same time.
That is exactly what it is. The reservoir being Russia's domestic oil infrastructure. Ukraine is flying these long-range drones deep into Russia to hit oil refineries.
Like the Michurinsk Progress plant, right?
Yeah, and major refineries down in Krasnodar Krai. And these strikes are so effective that they've essentially reduced Russia's total domestic gasoline output by 30%.
Which is just wild for Petrostate. But then you have the garden hose part of the strategy.
All right, the mid-range strikes.
Yeah, they are aggressively targeting the ground lines of communication, the GLOCs, inside occupied Ukraine. So highways like the M14 and the H20.
They're specifically hunting down the fuel trucks trying to move diesel to the tanks at the front.
And the resulting shortages are huge. In occupied Crimea right now, gas sales are literally restricted to 20 liters per person, or you have to use rationing coupons.
And Russia even had to preemptively ban its own gasoline exports just to protect its domestic supply, which, they have to do because Putin's approval ratings are sensitive to the optics of long gas lines.
Right. They divert fuel to keep the homeland pacified, and that starves the frontline troops. But here's where it gets really interesting.
The timing of these strikes.
Yes. Ukraine isn't just hitting fuel. Exactly as the St. Petersburg International Economic Forum was opening an event the Kremlin uses to project power, Ukraine launched a drone barrage 680 miles away from their border.
Right into St. Petersburg. They hit the Kronstadt Naval Base and set a Project 2380 Staragushi-class corvette, the Boyki, on fire.
Right inside a dry dock.
Exactly. And they hit the St. Petersburg oil terminal. And the Boyki is significant because it had been escorting Russia's shadow fleet of oil tankers.
Oh, wow. The ones trying to bypass sanctions.
Yep. So striking the escort ship undercuts Russian propaganda so severely.
And it creates this massive cognitive dissonance because at the forum, you have ultranationalists like Alexander Dugin and Konstantin Malafeyev presenting these wild future scenarios.
Like predicting the occupation of Kyiv by 2036.
Right, or threatening to use nuclear weapons if the war stays stalled. Meanwhile, Russian officials are actively weaponizing claims of a Ukrainian strike on a civilian bus in Yanakiev.
Right, they use that narrative to justify massive retaliatory missile strikes on Ukraine.
Exactly.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, you see that while Ukraine is expanding the physical map of the war to break a stalemate, other nations are expanding the political map.
Which brings us to the Middle East. We're moving from a physical squeeze in Eastern Europe to a massive strategic distraction.
Right, a geopolitical sleight of hand. Iran and its proxy Hezbollah are actively trying to shift U.S.-Iran negotiations completely away from the Strait of Hormuz and nuclear enrichment.
They want to make it entirely about ending the war in Lebanon, right?
Right.
And demanding Israeli capitulation.
Precisely. It's a distraction tactic.
And just looking neutrally at the timeline from our sources on June 1st, U.S. President Donald Trump announced a partial ceasefire.
Right. Israel halts Beirut strikes. Hezbollah halts Israel attacks.
But then by June 3rd, Hezbollah violated that by firing rockets at IDF forces in northern Israel right after an Israeli strike south of Beirut. We're just conveying the timeline here, but the mechanics serve a purpose.
Exactly. Because what's fascinating here is Iran's underlying motive. While the whole world is watching Lebanon, the U.S.-sanctioned Persian Gulf Strait Authority is quietly normalizing Iranian control over the Strait of Hormuz.
By treating international ship traffic like it's legally subject to Iranian permission?
Yeah, it's a massive bureaucratic takeover.
But wait, I have to push back on that logic. If Iran wants to quietly normalize control through paperwork, why are they escalating violence in the Gulf?
It's a good question.
Doesn't shooting at ships draw the exact attention they want to avoid?
It seems like it, but it's a calculated tit-for-tat meant to impose costs on the U.S. blockade. Like, recently U.S. Central Command disabled an Iranian-affiliated Botswana-flagged tanker called the Lexi.
Oh, right. Trying to circumvent the blockade.
Yeah. And Iran's response was to immediately launch drones at civilian ships. They fired anti-ship missiles at a Liberia-flagged vessel, the MSC Panaya.
Why?
And after the U.S. conducted self-defense strikes on Quesham Island, Iran actually fired ballistic missiles at U.S. bases in Kuwait and Bahrain.
And that had real consequences. One of those missiles hit Kuwait International Airport, killing one person and injuring 63 others.
Which serves their stated goal of driving a wedge between Gulf states and the U.S.
And all this outward aggression is happening alongside some intense domestic shifts inside Iran.
Right. President Masoud Pezeshkian is reportedly being totally sidelined by IRGC officials.
And Parliament Speaker Mohammed Bagher Ghalibaf is taking on this highly unusual executive role in China-Iran economic policy. Plus, 85 parliamentarians just wrote to Supreme Leader Khamenei demanding ICBMs capable of reaching the U.S.
It's a massive hardening of their posture.
So what does this all mean? Basically, Iran is buying time and space for extreme military advancement.
Which naturally transitions us to our final story, because there's another superpower completely redesigning its military tech to gain an edge.
Yes, China. They're literally altering the physical design of their navy to change undersea warfare.
It's fascinating. On June 1st, satellite imagery at the JN shipyard in Shanghai captured this mystery Chinese submarine.
And it's huge, right? About 120 meters long.
Yeah, that's the size of a nuclear fast attack sub, like the Type 093. It's actually longer than U.S. Virginia-class subs. And it has this advanced X-form rudder.
But the craziest part, the missing piece, is that it lacks a traditional sail. The conning tower that sticks out of the top is just gone. Removing the sail sounds to me like taking the windshield and mirrors off a car, just to make it more aerodynamic.
Yeah.
How do they actually function without it? Where do the periscopes and antennas even go?
Well, there's a massive strategic trade-off. Historically, the sail is crucial. It houses the sensor masts, comms, periscopes, and it's needed for surface navigation and cycling air.
I read the U.S. Navy even explored inflatable sails in 2021 just to keep that utility.
They did. But removing it drastically reduces drag. It creates a much faster, significantly quieter, and highly maneuverable vessel.
So it's basically the ultimate stealth predator.
Exactly. Analysts think this sub could serve as an underwater high-speed interceptor. Or it could be optimized purely for deep seabed operations where surface tools don't matter.
Wow.
And this raises an important question regarding China's rapid naval expansion. This isn't just a one-off experiment.
Right, because a smaller sailless sub was seen back in 2018.
Yeah. And just recently, China State Shipbuilding Corporation showed off a giant, uncrewed underwater vehicle concept at Zhuhai.
A drone sub.
Right. Plus, another new sub, possibly a Type 095, was launched at Bohai. And they recently developed a hybrid nuclear conventional sub, the Type 041.
Oh, didn't one of those sink recently?
Yeah, one sank at the Wuchang shipyard. But despite that, China is clearly aggressively transitioning to all nuclear or hybrid construction to extend their reach in the Pacific.
When you look at all of this, you really see how the landscape of global conflict is transforming.
Absolutely. The old blueprints of war are just being thrown out entirely.
Yeah, whether it's Ukraine dismantling Russian logistics with long-range drones, Iran using proxy ceasefires to mask maritime takeovers and build ICBMs, or China building stealthy, sailless submarines to outpace traditional navies.
It leaves you with a really profound final thought to ponder.
Yeah.
If a non-traditional military actor can cripple a superpower's fleet 680 miles away using cheap drones, and highly advanced navies are stripping the very sails off their submarines just to avoid detection, how obsolete are our current definitions of naval supremacy? Are massive aircraft carriers and destroyers becoming the battleships of the 21st century?
Just impressive to look at, but incredibly vulnerable to the cheap, fast, and stealthy innovations we've talked about today.
Exactly. It's a completely new board game.
Well, thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. Keep questioning the information landscape around you, and we'll see you next time.